is a whole vibe. That is Melissa B. Disconnect, yo. What up?
Yes.
I'm your boy, Jersey. Welcome back to another episode, the semi-season finale of Black Culture to Break Down. How are we feeling on this Father's Day Sunday? First of all, let me just say shout out to all the fathers out there. Happy Father's Day. Okay, let's see who's in the house. David, what up? David in the crib?
Yes.
Okay, RPX Taxes Associates in the house. What up, bro?
Yes.
All right, it's my boy Robert. Lotus in the house. Up, Lotus?
Yes.
Okay, it's my baby, all right? Lotus gets to work. Listen, everybody, we are on for season 2, episode 25 of Black Culture to Break Down. Don't ask me how we got here, but we are on episode 25. Crazy, right?
Yes!
But it's absolutely bananas. I feel like we have so much to offer the culture. So many people that have been pioneers in the game. I want to talk to you about some of my dopest moments of season 2 so far. Like, we had the legendary Donnell Jones on season 2 of Black Culture to Break Down. Come on. Like, that was a major milestone, right? Donnell Jones, come on, he has a song. Say what? You know what they're talking about? Can't remember the name of the song. But it's with Lisa Left Eye Lopez. Like, come on.
Yes!
There's a lot of people that don't get to really work with iconic people. And Donnell Jones is one of them, okay? All right?
Yes!
Who else we had season 2? We had TJ Jackson. All right? Oh, Melissa B live in the house. What up, Melissa B?
Yes!
What up? Definitely about to have a good time today. What's going on? I'm already doing a lot. We're going to have a good time today on this live. It's episode 25, right? Season 2. And we are talking about For the Love of the Mic. Everybody on here tonight has an obsession with being on the mic in some way, shape, or form. And we're going to hear their stories and their authenticity of how they even got to where they at, what they're doing right now in their careers to move forward, and what we got planned coming for the future, all right?
Yes!
Yo, Melissa B is all the way turned up. If y'all haven't been streaming her music, make sure y'all go do that. But we're going to listen to some of that later on when she comes on for the show. Now, I had TJ Jackson on, another dope person for season 2, which is Tito Jackson's son, Michael Jackson's nephew, okay? And the legal guardian of Paris, Prince, and Blanket. Like, that was a major milestone moment.
Yes!
You know what I'm saying? Because of that, yes, I was able to get so many traction. I got so many blog pickups. It's interesting to just say that, you know, a show like this can start somewhere and end up going to a whole nother level, a whole nother place. It's a journey, and I'm very grateful. So thank y'all all for tapping in every single week, because y'all make this show the most littest show on IGTV. Don't care what nobody said. Yo, talk about T in the crib. What up, bro?
Yes!
Absolutely, it is a semi-finale today. We had a super dope season, and you know, 25 dope episodes so far. This is the 25th, next week will be the 26th, and that will be the season finale. So thank y'all again for rocking out. T, you've been here since the beginning, you heard? Yo, you actually did an episode on season 2. Travis directed a whole episode on season 2. Completely forgot about that. Clap it up for Travis, everybody. I see my boy Gospel Artist Entertainment is in the house. Okay, first of all, I want y'all to understand that's my boy Aldrin. And he's been on at least half of the episodes for season 2. Rocking down, locking it down, having dope conversations, and kind of educating the people. Shout out to Aldrin and Gospel Artist Entertainment for being the biggest gospel platform in the world. You got to clap up for that. Okay, I'm only rocking with dope people on here. That's what's going on Black Culture. And y'all definitely push the culture forward. I'm so hyped and excited about season 3. And I already know that the sky's the limit. And just stay tuned, right? That's all I can say. Never know what kind of storm I'm about to call. What up, chatty boy? Welcome to Black Culture. It's the season semi-finale, bro.
Yes!
Okay, if you're just now tuning in, this is what I need y'all to do. Hit the arrow button right there at the bottom of the thing, and I want y'all to share this live with everybody. It's time to get it all the way turned up. I see my boy CDK, CDK on the mic is in the house now.
Yes!
We're about to get this conversation jumping, and we're about to get it all the way. That's what I'm talking about. What up, I'm Fancy. He said, was that Scooby-Doo?
No!
No Scooby-Doo. All right, we're about to get the conversation jumping. All right, CDK, you ready, bro? What's up, everybody doing on this Sunday? Oh, happy Father's Day, Patty.
What up? Wait, let me make sure you can hear me and everything like that on my side. Hold on. Let me turn my gain all the way up. What's going on? Can you hear me? Everything sound good on your side? What's up?
Everything is sounding peachy clean over here.
Yes! Let's go. Let me straighten my phone up.
What's going on? That was right. Okay. All right, let's just reset, okay? Welcome back, everybody, to Black Culture The Breakdown. I am your boy, Jersey. This is episode 25, season 2. And we are getting everything jumping and cracking over here in Black Culture The Breakdown, right?
Yes!
We're going to make sure that today is a smooth sailing. We just had a little bit of a slight error. But you know what? We're going to get it all the way back to what it needs to be. Let's try it again. Take two.
Yeah, my fault. I don't know what happened with that over there. I'm not sure what happened with that. But we back, though. We good, man.
You're all the way back, bro. We can hear you loud and clear. Your ring light is all the way popping. Okay.
Yes,
sir.
Man, we here, bro. Welcome to Black Culture The Breakdown.
I'm glad to be here, man. I'm super excited to be here, man, on this beautiful Sunday, Father's Day, Juneteenth weekend. Okay.
Man, it's definitely all of that, Father's Day, Juneteenth, and we just celebrating Black excellence all day, every day.
Oh, yeah, yes! Absolutely, man.
Man, tell the people who you are and what you do.
Man, I'm nobody special, man. I go by the name of CDK on the mic, the number one ranked HBCU host, Hip Hop DX content curator. I do interviews, like celebrity interviews, artist interviews, your favorite actor, sports, anybody, you know what I'm saying? I interview anybody, really. I also work for Warner Music Group as a college marketing rep, so I do anything with Generation Z and just kind of connecting the dots, telling the labels what we see every day on Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, all the things that's trending outside of just music, fashion trends and social injustice movements and everything like that. And, just things that we have going on, everything pop culture, I take that and I do that in my day-to-day jobs. I attend North Carolina A&T for right now. Trying to get up out of here, you feel me? And, other than that, I host events. I travel all over the nation, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to travel all over the world and just kind of do everything. And
yes!
Global expansion as well. Global expansion is what we're going to be doing in 2021. We have something cooked up with that, so I have a whole lot of DJs. I'm the only host on the team that kind of, like, does everything. We have a team in Jamaica. We all over the place. So international stuff is on the way. Yes. And hopefully this week we can announce something huge. But that's just who I am in a nutshell.
Bro, first of all, clap it up for that. Can I just ask you, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
22. Yep, 22.
22, and you out here traveling the country, picking out talent and connecting the dots with these record labels and the people that's on the ground. Interesting, bro. Now, walk us back from the beginning. How did you even get into even wanting to do something like that?
Church, man, I ain't gonna lie, man. I've always been into the entertainment industry. I really have been in the entertainment industry, like, for real, professionally, for 5 years. Well, going on 5 years. It hasn't even been 5 years yet. So, like, on a professional level, that's where I kind of came from. But from the beginning, I started off in acting. And before I did acting, I did modeling. But then, you know, when you're a kid, everybody looks cute. You know what I'm saying? But once you become an adult, everybody ain't. You know what I'm saying? They'll look too good, though, boy. So I realized modeling was not my calling. You feel me? Modeling wasn't my calling. So then for modeling, I kind of just did, like, master ceremony at church. So, like, youth Sundays, I would be in the pulpit because I, you know what I'm saying, I couldn't sing. So the choir wasn't for me. So I was in the pulpit and I was kind of like just kind of directing the service. And then from Children's Sunday, we went to, like, public speaking, and I was doing things like graduations and special events, talking and doing things like that. And then in 2016, I just recently made a post about this, my last post, it was pre-show, and I was auditioning because, like I said, I did acting, and I didn't get a big role in the actual play that year in the musical because I couldn't sing. So, I was the MC for the pre-show, which was all the people that did their songs, which also didn't have big roles, but they, you know what I'm saying, could sing somewhere or dance or, you know what I'm saying, had other callings. So they put all of us in one at the beginning of the show. So that was the first time I ever MC'd, and I had on these light-up shoes, man. I got them from the mall. They were like $40. I don't know. They were like adult sketches. It was weird. Dark place in my life. But anyways, I had on a suit, and I was in front of about 500 folks. And that was the first time I ever, like, hit the stage for real. And ever since that moment, I kind of been doing. That was a summer before I went to college, or 2 summers before I went to college. So I had a whole year that I just took off and just kind of like I took it for what it was, and that was it. And then the summer before I got to college, I started doing events and stuff like that. And then started crowd surfing. From the crowd surfing, I went to doing radio. From radio, hosting everything with HBCUs, and then from there, we got hooked up with Hip Hop DX. So that's what we kind of. That's kind of the short version of the storyline. But there's some bumpy things that happened in between that time period that kind of like, you know what I'm saying, turned me into a gym. So, definitely.
Well, bro, first of all, that's super dope that you were even able to just continue to climb. You know what I'm saying? And you were able to do that mad quick with it. Talk to us about what your work ethic looks like and how strategically you play your hand at trying to get to the next level in your career. How important is that to you?
Work ethic is like this. It's every day, literally every day. I do something different with my brand every day, whether it's reaching out to publications or, you know what I'm saying, like reaching out to guests for my show. It's all about the brand, putting that brand in there 90% of the time. 90% of why I'm successful is because of the brand, making everything larger than life. If you didn't record it, it didn't happen. Simple as that. So if you can tell people all these crazy stories and things like that, but if we never saw Michael Jordan play and we only heard about what he did, which is similar to Wilt Chamberlain's situation. Wilt Chamberlain could be the greatest basketball player of all time, but how many of us have really seen Wilt Chamberlain play and do some of these amazing things? We saw Michael Jordan. We can continue to see Michael Jordan. We had the whole documentary about Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan's story, the flu game, all the things about his father, all of that goes into what makes him the greatest all time because he has a story. Let's take another basketball player, for example. Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson is an amazing shooter, right? What's his storyline? He doesn't have one. Simple as that. That plays a huge role into your legacy. Huge role. So the reason why I feel like I've been successful and how I got to where I am so fast is because I take everything and I make it something. Even the littlest things. It could be community service. Like, people don't understand, man. That dollar sign beside your name, people don't know what your price is. People don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, the everyday people, they don't see that. What's in your bank account? You can make money doing anything else. You feel me? You can make money doing anything else. So I feel like your brand and what you do for what you – I feel like you should do it because you love it. If you wouldn't do it for free, man, I feel like that shouldn't be your career path. It could be something that you do on the side, but that shouldn't be something that you're doing for the rest of your life, because at one point in time, that money and being money-driven is going to catch up to you, and that's going to lead you down the wrong path. You feel me? So that's just kind of how I put myself in those situations.
Absolutely, man. You dropping a whole bunch of gems. Listen, he dropped the gems you're doing for free tonight, all right? He's about to drop his cash. Y'all can get him for that. Listen, bro, it's 100% about that and just being super strategic. You obviously kind of have been around some people that kind of showed you the ropes a little bit, or surround yourself with people that are like-minded. Tell us about who you decided to surround yourself with and who advised you.
Oh, I gotta definitely shout out, first and foremost, my parents. My parents usually be on everything, but they were the first people to kind of see the vision. And I'm gonna tell you a little bit about the struggle. So my first summer before I came to college, I worked at McDonald's, right? I was working at McDonald's for 3.5 years. I don't even know how I did it, man. But I was like SpongeBob in a Krusty Krab. That was me at 15. And you know what I'm saying, working overtime, took all that money that I made from them checks, put all that into my brand. This logo that y'all see right here, that was a check. You know what I'm saying? When you're working at McDonald's 40 hours a week, you only making about $300. You know what I'm saying? You ain't making nothing crazy. So imagine you put money in the flyers, you put money in the logos, you put money into promotion, you put money into all these things. What you gonna be left with? Nothing. You feel me? So instead of buying shoes and clothes for college and stacking up, I was investing into a dream. You feel me? So even to this day, I take always something from my check to invest into a dream. You feel me? So I definitely want to start out with my parents, because they definitely were supportive of that decision. Next, 102 Jams, man. Everybody at 102 Jams, B-Dot. Deron Wine, Marky Mark is what really put me on. DJ Real KC, Big Mo, my program director, the assistant music director, man. Like, bro, let me see. Matt Summers, Darren Brand. Definitely a lot of OGs out there that I don't even want to start naming folks, because it's gonna be a long list of people that really helped me out. But a lot of these folks, Dragus, he's an Aggie as well. Terrence J, like, I haven't directly spoke with him, but he's just his journey and him coming from where I come from, as far as like going to the same school, stuff like that, it's already a connection there. So like it's so many people, man. My partner that I do my podcast with, Horatio, man. Big shout out to him. Big shout out to Randall Barnes, the founder of HBCU Pulse, HBCU Buzz, Luke, I definitely want to shout out him, Travis, HBCU Broad Nation, all these folks, man. It's so many people, all that, the whole HBCU community, for real, for real. So between Jams and the HBCU community, Hip Hop DX, Jeremy, Warner Music Group, Carly, Pam, so many of y'all, man. It's just, I just want to thank all y'all, for real, for real.
Well, listen, shout out to everybody that's been rocking with CDK on the mic.
Yes!
All right, because, bro, you've definitely been a trailblazer for your generation, man. I've definitely been checking some of your interviews and just seeing how you've been moving on the ground. HBCUs and representing the black men out here, okay?
Yes!
Yo, the black men out there, man, say that, man. The black men out here that are doing something with their lives, man. I'm trying to tell you, it's hard for us. It's hard for us out here, man. So you really got to get it out the mud. And don't wait for somebody to hand you something, man. Like, you can wait for an opportunity or you can go get an opportunity. You know what I'm saying? But with that opportunity, don't wait for somebody to hand you the results of that. You know what I'm saying? So you have to go out there and create that yourself. So I always say, just lead me to the door and I'm going to kick it down. You ain't even got to open it. Just show me where the door is at, and we there. You feel me? So I can take care of the rest.
That's a fact.
Yes!
Come on with them gems, yo. All right. So now, let me ask you this. You got a chance to interview some of the dopest people in the industry. Uh-huh. Who would you say are your top three interviews that you've had so far?
Tusi Sukihana and, who that last spot right there? And Tusi's from the 919. He's from my city, so, like, that was, like, a full moment. That was a full circle thing. We interviewed him in Houston while I was down there doing Texas Southern. So that was a whole thing. That's the reason why he's one of my favorite. And also the conversation was just crazy. Sukihana, we had a viral moment. Like, she was somebody was talking about my hair in the comment section. She was snapping on somebody about talking about my hair. And they was talking about, you know, she was talking about Black Kings, you know what I'm saying? Like, people, that's what's wrong with us. You feel me? So she was talking about how us as black people, we talk about everything everybody else got going on, but we don't be sweeping at our own, you know what I'm saying, front porch. So she was one of my favorite. I want to say Pretty V was probably my third favorite, just because she had a lot to relate on the HBCUs, being on Wildin' Now, and her whole personality. She just lights up the room with her smile and stuff like that. Like, she just amazing. Like, she was actually my first major interview, and that was April of 2019. I only been doing interviews for a year. So, yeah, so I really want to say, yeah, Pretty B.
Yeah, man, you out here living the host dream, man, and it's definitely dope to watch somebody come up, because there hasn't really been a lot of, like, fresh, I feel like, just people that know what they're talking about, like, black men on the come up, not since, like, Terrence J, literally. You know what I'm saying? So it's been, I feel like, in this category. But I feel like you definitely have a chance to do something dope for the culture, so keep grinding, man.
Absolutely. And for all my young folks that's watching this right now, man, don't be that guy that, not even just with interviews, don't be that guy that's looking for a viral moment or does something to be the antagonize to create that. You know what I'm saying? Like, let that come naturally. You feel me? And I feel like a lot of the reasons why a lot of people that are in my generation right now don't stick around is because they're focused on the social media numbers and they're focused on that one moment, which you're going to get that one moment that everybody wants that. But I feel like they're so focused on that they don't look at the bigger picture of creating relationships. And you know what I'm saying? Like, talking to the publicist after the interview. You know what I'm saying? Like, my number one thing I do after an interview is follow up. Hey, if I see you're in my city, or I'm being the city that you're in, hey, let me, you know what I'm saying? Let me follow up with you. Let's get lunch. Let's, you know what I'm saying? Let's do an in-person interview. Let's do something. I see you have a song coming out, project coming out. Hey, I'm going to push your artist project. I'm going to continue to create that relationship. I always follow up with the artist too after that. Hey, I appreciate you. I related with you on this. You know what I'm saying? When you said X, Y, and Z, that's what makes the difference. You know what I'm saying? It is afterwards and the legwork, not just what we see on live when it's 1,000 people on the live. That's great. That's amazing. That's cool. But as soon as they click off your live and go do something else, they're going to forget about everything that you just had going on. You only as good as what you just did. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like that's what our generation kind of messes up with when it comes to longevity. But that's pretty much it for me, though. Like, as far as when it comes to interviews and how I kind of got into the process of speeding up is because I follow up.
Come on, man.
Yes!
Speed up because you follow up. Man, I feel like I love that. And your following up is almost as crucial as the first impression, because if you don't follow up, you become a memory. You know what I'm saying? Something that ass. So it's essential. You know, I'm on season 2 of Black Culture, and I have a lot of people from season 1 on season 2. And people are like, oh, you got them to come back. And I'm like, why would I not? You know what I'm saying? Because that's how you create and start to build relationships. It's just like code.
Yeah.
It's just like business code 101. But I think a lot of that time people feel nervous about reaching out because they feel like maybe they're overstepping or they're doing too much or they're being annoying. And I feel like there is a difference between being annoying and knowing how to follow up professionally. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. The most the people can say is no. Now, after you get a couple of no's, you know what I'm saying, you might even need to move on or wait until you feel me like you have a reason to reach back out again. If there's something that you have coming up or something they have coming up that makes sense, then that's when you do it. You got to do everything. Everything about the entertainment industry is about making sense and about what you can bring to the table, not what you can take from them. You know what I'm saying? Why do they need you? Why is your interview different? What is different about your platform that you can provide outside of followers, following numbers? Anybody can do that. You know what I'm saying? So that's my whole thing is the approach that I take at it when it comes to following up and how you do it and what you say. And not coming off being a fan, man. It's been so many times, but I've been seeing people just doing way too much, like too much of the homeboy. Like, yo, we, you know what I'm saying? It's a goal out here. And that goes for anything. That's just outside of entertainment as well. Like, just really knowing what you're here for and what you're doing. And always looking at something as a partnership, man. You don't work for nobody, bro. When it comes to entertainment, you don't work for anybody. It's a partnership with I'm working with this brand. And I always make sure I make that clear and on my post and everything like that. It's me working with this band and not working I work for. You know what I'm saying? Even though I might say that from time to time about like Warner Music Group or whatever, that's a little different. I mean, that's a major, major, major company. But when it comes to like working with people and stuff like that, man, make sure they just as excited to work with you as you excited to work with them. You feel me? You're nobody's fan for real.
Yes!
100% facts. Man, CDK on the mic, you were super dope. You came on here and dropped a whole bunch of gems, all right?
Yes, sir, man. Appreciate you for having me up here, man. Definitely bring me up here for the next season, man. Anything that we have going on, I'm definitely here for. Anything for the culture, man. I'm your city, you are my city, man. It's all love. Always, always, always just a little mad about the game that just happened today. I just had to let y'all know that on live real quick, man. Feels some type of way. Feels some type of way. But it's all good, though. Shout out to the Atlantic Hawks, I guess. You feel me? It's whatever.
Man. Yes! CDK on the mic. Let everybody know where they can find you, bro.
Follow me on all social media platforms at CDK on the mic, except Twitter at CDK on the mic two times. Until I get my Twitter back, you know what I'm saying? We had some copyright issues that we had to get situated, but as soon as that comes back, that's at CDK on the mic, too. We're not on Clubhouse no more, really. I mean, but if you are at CDK on Clubhouse, we outside with that. My website and my bio, you can book me like that. DM, man. Look, anyways, you can get in contact with me. I'm a follow up. I'm going to hit you back. You feel me? So, because I'm all about my business 110% of the time. And some people don't work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but I do. So I don't care what time it is.
Yes.
I'm knocking, you feel me? I'm going to answer. So,
listen.
Yes.
Game, he don't mean nothing but business out here. CDK on the mic is super dope, but we definitely link, bro.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, man.
Of course, we'll talk soon. CDK on the mic, everybody.
Hey. All right, brother.
All right, later. So, I feel like that was a great introduction to just knowing how to be on the mic. Come on.
Yes.
22. Bring me back to 22, okay?
No.
Long gone now, okay, everybody? But let me tell you something. When you actually put in that work from the top, get older, so the groundwork, the foundations may lay down.
Yes!
That's a gem for free tonight. All right, about to get the show going. All right, we on episode 25, season 2 of Black Culture The Breakdown, all about the mic, all right? And we about to get this conversation continuing. It's Gospel Artist Entertainment on the live. My boy Algin on the live. Let me see. Yes, he is. Let's get this conversation moving. How y'all feeling, though? What y'all doing on this? I mean, what y'all ate today? Drop in the comments below. I'm hungry. Yeah.
Yo, what up, man?
What up, bro?
I'm chilling, man. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Welcome back to Black Culture The Breakdown.
We're back. Listen, I love what you're doing. Absolutely amazing. Incredible.
Appreciate that.
It's dope. Man.
I appreciate that, my brother. You know how it is. We just on here to educate and be able to give and receive. That's all. That's all.
Absolutely. What up, David? Absolutely, man. Listen, you know what you're doing is absolutely incredible. And I rock with you. You already know that. I rock with you.
Listen.
Yes.
And we rock with you, okay? Everybody, Gospel Artist Entertainment founder and CEO Algin Colors in the building. Okay. Now, today we really got like a lot of things to talk about. I feel like I haven't spoken to you on live in a little minute. It always feels like that every time we get on live.
It's been a minute. It's been a minute. But we're back.
But we definitely back. So I want to kind of go into the conversation for the day and just ask you this, how to keep good energy around you, right? Like, I feel like I was just talking to CDK and he was able to kind of just say how he was able to move through. I want to talk to you about like your career and what you've been doing in the industry and just how you have been able to manage and keep peace with the people around you and good energy.
Oh, man. It's funny that you bring that up because that was one of the main things that I've been trying to accomplish lately is keeping that peace, you know, especially with people around me. There have been situations to occur where you know, I've had to let people go in order to keep peace. And so lately I've been in a position where I've solely been focusing on that. And so it's been a great journey. I mean, it's been a great journey so far. I've had bittersweet days, you know. You know how you get attached to, you know, people, whether it's, you know, relationships, friendships, family or whatnot. And then it's like you're attached, but you know that you have to let them go to be able to keep that peace in your home and keep that peace in your life.
Yes.
I have to do that. And I had to realize that. And so by doing that, I just simply had to clean house. And not necessarily clean house, but clean house, meaning my life, my spiritual life, my mind, you know, everything pertaining to life. I just had to clean house. And sometimes, you know, you have to just, this may sound bad, but sometimes you got to take out the trash.
Yes. Take it out and throw it away.
You got to take it out and throw it away. So, but I've been maintaining that peace. I'm in a place of peace where I thought I would never be, you know, because of situations that were going on in that moment and that time. But I found myself to get in that place. And so it's been a great journey. Bittersweet, but more sweet than bitter. So.
Well, Algin, appreciate you being 100% transparent.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, there's so many people that could relate to that because we're all trying to grow in our craft. We're all trying to grow in our relationships. We're all trying to grow in just being a human being, right? And
yeah.
I feel like people come into your life sometimes for reasons or seasons, and you just have to know how to navigate through that and figure out what it is that they're here to teach you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So with that being said, in terms of quality over quantity, how do you feel about having a whole bunch of friends around you or versus just having the one or two or three right people around you? Talk to us about that.
So having a whole bunch of friends around you can be very toxic. It can have an effect over your life. I was taught that if everybody like you, that means you're doing something wrong. But if everybody don't like you, that means you're doing something right. Because even Jesus had haters. Everybody didn't like him.
Yes.
Amen.
He had haters. So we're always going to have haters. If I find myself being friends with everybody, it's something that I'm doing wrong. You know, I don't intend or I don't plan to be friends with everybody, you know, but having that one or two, three people, four people, five people, whatever, that real, real small circle, knowing that I can trust them is a lot better. I'd rather have five faithful people than 10,000 people who would just do me dirty and wrong and turn their back on me.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, those five faithful people I can rely on. I can say, I can actually call them friends.
Yes.
I don't call everybody my friend. I don't call everybody my bro, my sis, my family. I don't do that. You know, until you earn that title, you're an associate. We're associating. We're you know, and you have to be like that with people. You know, you can't, you know, call everybody your friend because people will take that friend and abuse it. They won't actually take care of it, but they'll abuse it. And so as many ways that they're abusing, they will abuse it. And so I've had to be careful, you know, with calling everybody my friend. So it's very important for me to have those faithful few than to have a bunch of, you know, people who I can't rely on or, you know, people that are, you know, going to walk away when I'm on my downfalls. And, you know, I can deal without you know, all of those people. Everybody's not going to be my friend, and I've learned to be okay with that.
Okay.
Yes.
Man, you said a mouthful, and it was a whole bunch of gems. I hope y'all caught them. Because it's absolutely true that that small group that really got your back.
Yeah.
Hold you down and pick you up when you need to, you know what I'm saying? Versus having a whole bunch of people around you because maybe they're just trying to get something in return, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you gotta just be so aware of your surroundings, bro. That was 100% on target.
Yes!
They said, preach and amen, been there, amen, okay?
And see, and it's very important. Like, it's very important to know who your friends are. There's a difference between a friend and a frenemy. I'd rather have enemies than a frenemy. At least if I have enemies, I know they're my enemy. They're not hiding it. They're being true to themselves. They're my enemy. I'd rather have those than a frenemy, because if I have a frenemy,
yes,
I'm putting my trust in somebody who is waiting for me to turn my back and put a knife in it.
Ooh, Aldrin, you better stop talking like that. You talking real spicy tonight.
That's a frenemy, yeah. You know? I can deal without the frenemies. See, an enemy is going to show you their colors in front of your face. A frenemy,
yes,
is going to wait until you turn behind you. You turn your back in order for them to show you their true colors, and then it'll be too late. I'd rather have people who will mention my name in a positive way at a table when I'm not in the room, versus somebody,
yes,
who's going to wait until I get in the room to do that, and then when I leave, the tables flip.
Okay.
Like, I'd rather,
who's out here even trying to figure out, like, if I even have to question if that's what you're gonna possibly do,
yeah,
then I can't even be around, even from Jump Street. Even if I feel like you telling me that you're not gonna do it, but if I have to question it, then I still feel like then there's something. I feel like when God gives you intuition, you listen.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? So
definitely
100% on target, bro. And let me ask you this now, like, how do you feel about spreading yourself too thin, right? Like, I feel like when it comes to friendships and just giving into different people, because you have a giving personality, right? So I know that you're the person that if something's going on in somebody else's life, they can reach out to you and they know that you'll pour into them. How much are you giving too much, and how do you feel about just spreading yourself too thin?
Okay, say that last part one more time.
How do you feel about spreading yourself too thin? Like, or do you ever feel like sometimes pouring into your friends can make you feel like you're spreading yourself too thin?
No, because it really depends on if I know that they have my best interest at heart, they're genuine. I'm not going to invest into someone who I know is going to ball up my investment and throw it away. Like, that wouldn't, me personally, I wouldn't do that. So I would definitely, I do give a lot, but you know, and I don't expect anything in return when I do give, you know. But there are people who you just cannot give all of yourself to, because they will mishandle it. They will abuse it, you know. They will take your kindness for weakness, you know. So they will literally get into a place where, you know, if you offer them a piece of chip from a bag, they gonna want the whole bag.
Yes.
Not even think about you being hungry.
Okay, being greedy,
you know. So you got to know that balance. So me, I've learned to invest into those who are going to appreciate my investment, and who's going to actually take my investment and cherish that investment, you know. So I can't invest into, I mean, I can't give to a lot of people. If I could, you know, I would give to the whole world, you know. But, you know, unfortunately, the human mindset doesn't work that way. It doesn't operate that way. So, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm if I feel like God is leading me to give to you, you know, I'll give to you, you know, and not even expect anything in return, but you can't do that with everybody, and I've learned that.
Absolutely. That's 100% facts.
Yes!
Jim, you always come on here and drop these gems, my brother, and you always come on here and just give us good conversation, and we
appreciate it.
Let people know what you got coming up and where we can find you, my brother.
Well, to be honest, right now, I don't have anything coming up right now. If you're in Nashville, though, next Sunday, I will be hosting, it's an event with Urban Soul Cafe in Nashville. I don't know the name of it, but I will make an announcement this week. So if you're in the Nashville area, then definitely, you know, come out and let's have a good time. Shout out to Carlos Hale, who is having me to be one of the hosts for this event. There's some great artists on this event, and I'm excited to be traveling to Nashville, Tennessee to, you know, do my good hosting, you know? So
yeah,
that's really the only thing that I'm working on right now. Well, that I'm doing as far as working on any projects with GAE, I've kind of put everything on hold. I'm not doing any interviews. I mean, if you want to interview me, I would do that. But as far as me interviewing somebody, I'm not doing those right now. That will come later on in the year. I am taking a break from that. You know, sometimes you just need a break to yourself. You know, you need some me time, you know? So I am doing that. I'll be up and running with that soon. So, but y'all just keep us in your prayers and stay tuned for what we have coming up next.
That's it. Yeah, I heard it from the man himself. Algie McCullough ain't out here around,
right? Yes!
And, I appreciate it, man.
You've been working so hard, and we see your hard work, my brother. You put in everything into that post. Your Instagram is always on and popping. They know where to come get that news from, right here on Gospel Artist Entertainment's page. So you work hard enough. You did 1,000 interviews between last year and this year, so you can take a break. It's well deserved.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you so much, man.
Yes, of course, and I appreciate you for coming on here and always doing that good work, all right?
Yes!
Thank you so much.
So, Gospel Artist Entertainment, everybody, Algie McCullough.
All right,
y'all. So that was Algie McCullough. All right, we'll talk later, bro.
All right.
He is literally, like I said, the biggest gospel platform in the world. So I want you guys to go check out his platform. Look at everything that he's built from the ground up.
Yes.
Okay. Hard work pays off. You know what he's talking about. It's real life out here. All right. I'm about to get the conversation going. I got Melissa B that's waiting to talk next. Okay. This is a Billboard charting singer-songwriter. All right. Courtney, I see you. What up, Melissa? Welcome to Black Culture The Breakdown.
How are you?
I'm great. I
need to make sure you need it. You can see this. Okay.
I can hear you. I can definitely see you. What's up?
How you doing? Happy Sunday. Happy Father's Day to everybody out there.
Definitely. Happy Sunday and happy Father's Day to everybody out there.
Yes.
Absolutely. We got Melissa B on the live right now, everybody. Mm-hmm. And tell the people who you are and what you do.
I'm Melissa B. I'm a singer-songwriter, also a network engineer. I build and design computer networks. I'm also an author. So I'm a jack of all trade.
Okay. And-
you know, master of what I don't know yet, but I can say that I am a very unique artist who basically combines music and technology as one.
Mm. Yeah. Wow. You know what? I've had quite a few guests on this show. I don't think I've ever met someone that has music. That is such an interesting combination.
Yeah.
And that's why it makes you stand out from the rest. Because
yes,
first of all, your music is dope. Okay,
thank you, thank you so much.
No problem, and I definitely, now that you just mentioned that, now it just makes so much sense just because it almost sounds like it's from back in the day, but it's to the future. It's like it's almost like it's such a mixture and eclectic like combination of how you just mix and blend your sounds, you know what I'm saying?
I'll say if Whitney and Janet had a baby, I'd be her.
Definitely.
It's like, you know, I'm one of those kids from the 80s, you know, 80s kids, 80s baby, and I really grew up on that kind of stuff and music. It's like I've just been inspired by so much, and also, you know, because I'm Puerto Rican too, and you know, with salsa and just all different types of sounds. So it's like, for me, I can't escape that type of music. You know, like Bruno Mars, he's the same way. He gives homage to that era, if you really look at it. So for me, it's the same way, but more in the female side.
Yes.
First of all, you're a real vocalist, okay?
Thank you.
I was on your YouTube page and I had a chance to see your cover to Whitney's I Have Nothing.
Yeah.
I was like, you can sing.
Oh, thank you.
David said, whoop, whoop, Puerto Rico in the house.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And just that you mentioned that, and just paying homage to the people that are just super dope. Let's bring it back to the beginning for you. When did you realize, like, I have a gift? I think I can actually really sing.
I've been knowing that since I was 5 years old.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a thing. It's like when you're a child, when you're a little kid, you have such confidence, you know? And when I was little, I literally was going around telling my parents, I'm gonna be a famous singer one day. My parents are like, yeah, that's nice. And I'm like, no, I'm serious. Like, I'm going to be a famous singer one day, you know? And I've always steadfast in terms of like just completely having that mindset. And I didn't know how I was gonna get to where I was gonna get to, but I just continued on. And one of the main reasons that I continued on, you know, my dad, obviously it's Father's Day, but my dad passed away at 50 years old. My dad had stomach cancer. But the one thing my father told me was, he was like, don't stop your dream. Mm. He was like, there's nothing that you can't do on earth to accomplish. He said, do everything, try everything. So, you know, ever since then, it's like, for me, the one thing he wants me to get, because he asked me this, he wants me to get a Grammy. So my goal,
okay.
I would love to get one Grammy. And then I set that goal, that promise that I made for him, you know? So yeah, but I've been knowing this since I was little.
You know what? Let's kind of like fast forward a little bit then. So since five-year-old Melissa to now, walk us through your first major situation. Like, oh crap, I'm an actual artist right now. Like, what was your first moment that you really felt like you arrived?
I didn't really believe that I have arrived or did anything until I actually, when we hit Billboard, actually did that. And the other one part was when I got to perform at Carnegie Hall.
Okay.
That was very poignant in my life. That was like a big moment in my life. Like, how many people can say that they've performed at Carnegie Hall?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that was when I felt like, it's not about, you know, I don't have to be Beyonce. I don't have to be Mariah Carey. I don't have to be all these people. It's like there are certain moments in my life for me that's a pivotal moment for me. That's my highlight, you know?
Definitely. Absolutely. So now, you said you made it to Billboard. And like, walk us through, because I feel like as a musician, that is such a dope badge of honor that people are actually supporting your work to push you on a chart. But talk to us about what single that was, if you can remember, and just how that experience felt like.
So it was a single that I wrote with an artist from Uruguay, and the producer. We worked together. His name is Juan, and it was a children's song. It was, believe it or not, it was just a song about encouragement and stuff. And we did a dance version. So the dance version was what really made it go.
Okay.
So I was really shocked, and then they were like, we were on the charts for like 6 weeks. So first we debuted at I think it was like number three for a couple weeks, and the next thing you know, we were at number one.
Wow.
It was like the hot single sales, and we were selling records, and people were like, what's going on here? And I was like, you tell me what's going on. I don't know what's going on. But it was great, you know? Amazing. It's just amazing.
Definitely. Well, so now, talk to us about your voice.
Mm-hmm.
You have such, like you said, that Whitney, that Janet, but you have power. You got soul, you got grit, you have all of that in your voice. How were you able to strengthen that to even be able to have like that much of a powerful voice?
Well, believe it or not, when starting off, I used to be, my voice was very soft. My dad was the one who actually would, he would say, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I would be like, what? Hear you when you're on stage. Like, what are we, soft? We're like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. For me, my cousin always tells me I have a perfect pitch with my voice. And I practiced a lot. Believe it or not, I really wanted to go to Juilliard, and I wanted to go sing opera. So, you know, from there, you have to learn how to sing from your stomach. You got to learn how to sing from there. So I a lot of people say I'm the skinny, there's a fat lady living inside of me, you know. But it's like knowing how to utilize your instrument, because your body is your instrument. So it's taken years of practice and different training and, you know, understanding your head voice and, you know, understanding how your vocal cords are really, how you really utilize them and all that stuff. So I've trained myself very well.
Definitely, yeah, because you could really sing, okay?
Yes!
But how important is it for you to stay A1? Like, do you ever feel like, my voice is not maybe where I want it to be, so I need to kind of work on it? Or does that ever happen to even people that sing as well as you? Do you ever feel like there's off days, or how important for you to stay A1?
Oh yeah, like right now, I'm going through that phase now. I feel like my style, your style changes. It's not you, because the thing is you hear, I do not like to be told or listened to or suggested, you know, like this is how people are singing right now. I don't do that.
Okay.
I'm not like that. Me, I feel as though if you're an artist, you should stay true to yourself.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So just like Prince and Michael Jackson, you know, I learned from them. I learned by, you know, studying them that you gotta evolve, because that's what you are. You're an artist. You're an artist with your body and your vocals. So you have to learn what's the change, right? Michael Jackson, if you look at the time from the time he was little till he was a teenager to the time he became the Michael Jackson we know of, his falsettos changed, right? The different ways that the way he sang and stuff like that. Prince, there's different variations of Prince. There's different variations of Michael. But the thing is if you really listen to their vocals, things were going on in their lives. You know, their vocals changed. You know, the style, they did things differently. So these are the things you got to do when you're an artist.
So now, let me ask you, who is it that inspires you? Whenever you feel like, yo, I want to hear somebody sing down right now, so I'm gonna play her or him. Who is it that you play?
Minnie Riperton.
Ooh.
Yes.
I listen to Minnie Riperton a lot. She's such an amazing artist. She was such an amazing songwriter too. And I listen to Whitney. I listen to a lot of the divas. So you know, I call me old school. That's just me.
I don't blame you. Like, are you okay? Who's your top three vocalists, dead or alive, just in life? Who are your top three vocalists?
Whitney is obviously one.
Okay.
Celia Cruz. Yes, I grew up listening to Celia Cruz. She was amazing.
Mm.
And, you know, I have to put the two guys. It's Michael and Prince for me. Those two. Yeah.
Even as vocalists, you like them as vocalists. Aside yeah. from being artists.
Yes. Because Prince, I really loved because Prince had a very wide range. And he also, he actually loved the woman's voice. Because you realize there's some songs that he did, and he did a lot of songs for women.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that he was trying to sing like a woman, but he just, you know, had that knack for it.
Definitely.
So he, there was an interview I saw, and he actually said he admires the woman's vocals.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, when you listen to certain songs, he could sing very low. He could sing very high.
Yeah.
So I learned from that. Yes. What do I say? El DeBarge. I love El DeBarge. Of course.
Yeah. What do you think about Jennifer Lopez?
I think Jennifer Lopez is a good singer. She's a great entertainer.
Definitely.
Yes.
She's a great entertainer. She's
a great entertainer. I cannot, you can't take that away from
me. Definitely, definitely.
Has worked her ass off to get to where she is.
Definitely. And you know, I'm a dancer, so I can respect and choreographer, so I can respect her skills just as a as an overall entertainer. She's excellent at that dancing.
Yeah.
She's dope. Let me also ask you, what do you think about artists that are in the entertainment industry that you feel like are not real vocalists? Like, what are your opinions on them having these millions of dollars invested in their career as, you know, as singers, and they're really not singers? What is your thoughts on that?
On who exactly? I'm sorry.
Not anybody specifically, but just as an overall, like, I just, to be honest, the entertainment industry today is not what it was back then. You understand what I'm saying? And music.
Oh, you got that right. Why do you think I'm independent?
Hmm.
I'm independent, and this goes along with your question. I'm independent because I'm creative. I don't need somebody to tell me what they visually see for me or what they think my voice should be. And the problem is I think that the music industry has lost sight. They're chasing a dollar. Mm. They're not chasing the talent anymore. I feel like they're losing. They've lost sight. They're just trying to make more money. Well, if you really invest in real artists again, instead of just wasting money chasing a dollar and a dream, that's how I call it, dollar and a dream, and find the real artists again, you really will find people who are like, you know, the female Bruno Mars, the, you know, the next Whitney Houston of our lifetime, the next Aretha Franklin of our lifetime, the next Prince of our lifetime. Like, her, to me, her is like the Prince of our lifetime, but for females.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But that's the problem. They've lost sight. They're trying to chase a dollar. It's not about the art anymore.
It's definitely not about the art anymore.
No, it's not. Can you tell me when's the last biggest, outside of listening to Bruno Mars in their Silk Sonic song, because that sticks in our mind. Can you tell me when there's been the last biggest hit you've ever heard?
Yeah, I can. It's the truth. It's the truth. Silk Sonic is such a good example, good music, you know what I'm saying? And it merges bringing that old school with today and just bringing, because music is still an artistry. You gotta know how to sing on key. There's different octave ranges, right? You can attest to this more than, you know, anybody else could. But just like as a dancer, you gotta train, you gotta, you know, rehearse, you have to actually practice. You don't just get up and dance. But this era that we live in, TikTok, all of these things that are happening, has changed and watered down all of these art forms. So how is it that these artists that are really talented survive now in this cruel entertainment industry right now?
How we survive is being independent ourselves, and we build our own fan base, and we do it ourselves. The only reason why we need a record label is because they have money.
Mm.
Right? But now, if we're really smart, let's be really smart, we could just put our stuff into cryptocurrency, honey, and I can do my whole ecosystem completely different and make people pay me in crypto.
Okay. Okay.
This is going.
Okay. Oh, we dealing with a smart one on here.
Yes.
Right, Melissa. Melissa, dropping gems on they confuse us. You know what I'm saying? But
I wrote a book called Digitally Independent, right?
Hmm.
Wrote a book called Digitally Independent.
Tell us about it.
That book, I'm telling you, I dropped gems. People were hitting me up telling me, why did you write this book? Because there's too many people, too many artists out here who want to run their own label but don't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. I literally wrote a book so that it gives you the jewels. And when I tell you don't get the runaround, I give it to you straight to the point. 70 pages. That doesn't hurt nobody.
No.
Where
we can get the book from?
Amazon.
Okay.
Yes.
Like, so listen, she's definitely dropping gems. How much is the book?
Huh?
How much is the book?
$19. $19. Oh. Best money you'll ever spend for your life.
Yes.
Okay. So make sure everybody go get that book on Amazon right now. It's on Prime too, right?
Huh?
It's on Prime?
It's on Prime. It's on Audible. There's an Audible book if you don't read. Look, I got it all.
Okay. Are you talking? Are you the one talking?
No, I had somebody else do it. What's going on?
Oh, my goodness.
Next one, I'll definitely talk. The next one.
Definitely. Okay, come on. I want you to talk to us about this track, Disconnect.
Oh, yes.
I love, you got Disconnect. I love that track, right? But tell us what inspired you.
So, basically, we were in the studio and I just kept saying, you know, it's like anytime you're talking to somebody nowadays, nobody's really connecting with each other. People go, I've seen people on dates at a table and people are literally on their phone right across from each other and they're texting each other. And I'm like, wait a minute, are you not talking?
Hold on a second, they're texting each other?
They're texting each other across the table.
Okay.
You know, and to me, it's like, where are the days when you don't have nothing in between the two of you where you actually can connect with each other? So that's why I say disconnect, because disconnect from the phone, disconnect from the internet, and connect with each other.
Definitely. Come on. Well, you have Disconnect put up right here on my cue board. Will you allow us to play it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead and introduce your track.
This is Disconnect, and this is for you to connect.
Okay.
Gotta disconnect.
If you feeling this, I want you to try some fire emojis on Melissa B.
Tell me, baby, what do you like? You look perfect, gonna face life. I wanna give you my all. I'm in the mood for some love, but I can't do it alone. Oh, so let me give you some real thing. You can double tap my body, put it out of your mouth. Take my
is a bop. That is a bop.
Yes.
Come on. And we've seen that this song is picking up some traction and it's going and it's a vibe. You know what I'm saying? You nailed it with just getting that old school meets that new school, that little bit of disco. You nailed it.
We need it.
Now, talk to us about what's new for you in music. What you got coming up that we should be on the lookout for?
So I actually am dropping a project that I'm actually doing with the United Nations. There's a song that I wrote with Armand Hutton, Grammy nominated vocalist and producer, and with Vincent Lin, concert pianist. And we did a song together, and the country of Portugal actually bought our song. And the song is a song of peace. And basically everything that we've been going through the pandemic, we basically wrote a song for the song of peace for the world. And I did it with an orphans from Uganda.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so this song is actually coming out next month. I'm actually doing a live concert in Portugal.
Okay.
And we're going to release it. I'll let you know. And I'll give you a copy of it so you can have it. It's really amazing.
Yeah, definitely. And listen, whenever you're in New York and you're doing a show, you got to let me if you need some dances or anything like that. We'll definitely get you right, Melissa B.
Yes, absolutely. I would love that.
This song is a vibe, and dancers would appreciate it, you know what I'm saying? Because there's real melodies, there's real production behind it, so there's actually real movement that can be done to it. I can't wait for you to... Now, talk to us about your visuals. Like, are you going to do a visual for this track? Well,
maybe you and I need to talk on the side, because I'm actually looking to do... I would love to do this in a roller rink or something.
Come on! Yes! Give us artistry already.
Yes, I've been thinking about this, and I was like, you know what? I would love to do this in like a roller rink and like give an old school story type of thing where, you know, the guy's vibing and he's got his crew and she's got her crew and they just think they cute, and, you know.
Oh, you a real artist. You like, please, the guys is vibing, the girls. Yes.
The visuals, oh my gosh, I would love to do the visuals on this, that an 80s vibe.
Definitely. Your cover art is so unique. What's the inspiration behind all of those?
So I don't know. I you know, it's like when you hear that, I wanted to give that 80s cover, you know, and I wanted people to feel that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So whenever I do my covers, I do think about what I'm thinking about when they're looking at it, because I want to attract you to the song. So visually, I was like, okay, how would I get them? Oh, give them 80s vibe. Okay, do that.
So now, what's next for Melissa B? Do we have something that we need to be on the lookout for, like some acting maybe?
I don't know about acting. I've done that before.
No.
I've been toggling between doing, I want to do an album, but I think what I want to do is get a couple of independent female artists, R&B artists that a lot of people don't know of. And I've been thinking about producing a whole album with a couple of female artists and just doing duets with them. And this like whole female independent power, girl power type of thing. That's something I've been thinking about doing.
I can definitely see you doing that. Throw out an artist that you would love to collaborate with on that project. Like, who's somebody already you have in mind?
Sky Verbs. I don't know if you've heard of her. She's from New York. And there's another girl. I am Amanda. Amanda, she's from New York too. Yeah. Whole bunch of girls from New York. They're my girlfriends, and they are R&B artists. Shay, I would love to get her. Trust me, these girls are all talented.
Okay.
You know, you hear a lot about other R&B artists, independent artists, but there are a whole bunch of other ones that a lot of people don't know of.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like your music is so, like I said, it's diverse. And what are you doing in terms of like movie placements? I can hear your songs in movies. I can hear your songs playing at H&M. I can see so much placement opportunities. Are you like looking into trying to get as much placement as possible?
Like sync licensing?
Yes.
I have not jumped into that yet, but I need to.
Definitely.
Because you're not the first person to say that too. Because people are like, oh my God, I can see your song in this movie, in that movie. I have songs that probably fit in a commercial. Absolutely.
This stuff could play in Stranger Things.
I know.
Yeah. Like, so you should definitely, I don't know what you gotta do to get that right, but get that right. Yes. So you can start making that. Okay.
We're gonna get there.
Definitely gonna get there. So you're a New York girl.
Yeah.
Okay, well, listen.
Long Island.
Oh, you're in Long Island. Oh, so you know what it's like to just be about your business, because New York is definitely just in tune with, like, I don't got time for nothing if we ain't talking about shmoney, okay?
Yes.
You know how it is. Now, is there anything that you feel like you wanted to accomplish that you didn't get done because 2020 kind of disrupted your creative vision, and what are you doing now to get back on track?
Okay, this is dope, what I'm about to tell you. I wanted to do a tour. I wanted to actually go, what I wanted to do was, before the pandemic happened, I was literally looking into roller rinks to go and get other R&B artists to come with me to go to different states and go to, you know, do like different little shows in roller rinks while people were skating. The reason why I was doing that, because I saw a film about how roller rinks were dying. And obviously, you know, us growing up, music and roller skating is like, what? No, that can't die. What?
No. Do kids even know how to roller skate though?
Who?
Do kids know how to roller skate nowadays?
They do. It's amazing. Mm. Like, it's a whole nother world. Like, now, like, when I see what they're doing some tricks. Like, you'd be like, what? I wasn't doing So, but the thing is, like, if you really think about it, that's what brings our community together. So, I wanted to do that. So, that's something, if I get the chance, I want to do that. I want to go on tour and do, you know, in some different states and roller rinks.
I can definitely see that happening.
Yes.
Speaking it into existence, and the sky's the limit.
Yeah.
You are definitely someone to definitely be on the lookout for. So we will be watching. All right?
Yes.
One more thing I want to say. If people aren't into cryptocurrency, y'all better get into it. Don't let them fool you. Y'all better start getting it. Just hold on to some type of cryptocurrency and get into it.
You know what? Give us a 3-minute crash course on just cryptocurrency for people that maybe don't know, as quick as you can, just so they can kind of understand what it is for people that may be listening that's like, what is cryptocurrency?
So cryptocurrency, the real world problem is that we have centralized banks. The real world solution is that Bitcoin basically helps decentralize that, where it gives power to the people. You become the bank. The bank doesn't become you or take your money. You have the power. So the important thing is to understand is that if you're going to get into cryptocurrency, understand what the technology is. Don't just jump into anything. Understand what the project is. Do your research. I tell people this. Do the top, whatever the top 5 cryptocurrencies that are standing right now, which is Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ethereum, Chainlink, Stellar, those are the ones that you want to like invest in right now. Anything else outside of that, you're on your own. I am not a financial advisor.
Yes. Yes.
You were hilarious. It was like, if it ain't the big one, that's it. Don't ask me nothing else after that. I love it. But listen, you need to get into comedy. You are hilarious. Yes. I don't know how you don't want to act.
I'm a Capricorn. That's what we do, honey.
Well, thank you so much for coming on tonight and representing for the Latinas and Boricuas.
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely appreciate you coming on Black Culture to Break Down. And please don't be a stranger.
I won't. I will stay in contact with you, and definitely we'll work together. Don't worry.
Definitely. We'll definitely connect, and you'll be on here again for season 3 when you got something else bigger to announce for us, all right?
Okay. I'll see you soon.
Appreciate you for coming on.
Okay.
Well, let's be everybody. Come on. How dope was she? All right, hold on. Let me just get my set together. Get my life together. Yo, how dope was she? Yo, she was super dope. Like, I didn't even get her to sing. Oh, my God, Melissa, we didn't get you to sing. Yo, Melissa could sing. I don't know if y'all know, but she could really blow. Like, she could really, really sing.
Yes!
I have one more guest that got to come on tonight. His name is Courtney. And he has his own show called Courtney's Corner. But let's get him on here right now. If y'all haven't been streaming Melissa B's music, y'all need to do that now. Check out all on YouTube. She could really blow. Yo! What's up, man?
How are you?
I'm good, man. Welcome to Black Culture The Breakdown.
Thank you so much for having me. Oh, my God.
It's great. Of course. Man, it's been such a long time coming just to have you on here to be able to catch up.
Yes, sir. I'm honored. How's everybody doing?
Definitely. Man, let's jump into just the beginning of this, man. Like, tell people who you are and what you do.
My name is Courtney Starks. I am the talk show host, CEO, and founder of Courtney's Corner. We are a LLC and brand that focuses on impacting lives and sharing the stories of the voices that are not being heard, that are not getting mainstream media, but have a story, have something valuable that they can contribute to the community, contribute to businesses, and to one another as a community.
Definitely.
Yes.
All right. And definitely, I feel like Courtney's Corner has been a part of everybody's living room the entire quarantine. Okay.
Like, man.
You haven't been watching and you missing out.
Yes.
So many guests on your show. Talk to us about which ones stand out to you the most. Give us your top three interviews that stand out to you the most.
Somebody asked me this yesterday. For me, I would say, Lavelle Adams Gray from Power.
Okay.
Khalil Kane, who plays in Juice, and he was in Tiger Woods. Okay. Most people know him as Darnell from Girlfriends. And last one would be Major. We know the R&B singer Major. It was like talking to my cousin. You know what I mean? It's hard to pick because depending on the day, it fluctuates. Like Sherry Shepherd for me and Lorianne Gibson were like A1 day ones, but yeah.
Got you. Well, first of all,
yes.
The fact that you were able to get Sherry Shepherd, and like these are pioneers in the entertainment industry, bro.
Yep.
And they came on to definitely chop it up with you. So that's a testament to what you're doing out here to getting people of quality and value. You know what
I mean? Yes.
So much.
And man, talk to us about your major announcement. I just saw that you just got picked up.
Yes, sir. We've been working on this for a very long time. I didn't want to tell anybody and then it flopped, but we got picked up on Roku and Amazon Fire last week.
Yes.
Life has completely changed as I know it. But yeah, man, we're grateful. We're honored. We've been waiting for this moment. I remember when I first started Courtney's Corner again after my relaunch, and I'm like, I'm going to be on these shows. And that's exactly what happened. I clapped you up. That's exactly what happened. Like, I got the opportunity to do something that 10 years ago, I couldn't, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I feel like you've been able to kind of build a foundation now. And I was able to check it all out. I was like, yo, this is really so dope and cool. And it's virtual. And it's hip. And it's today. You know what I'm saying? You're definitely moving into a dope position, like even just with your websites all together, branding on point.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you haven't checked out Courtney's Corner's website, his Instagram page, his show on his Roku and that's on Amazon, make sure y'all go check that out. He interviews some of the dopest people in Black culture as well. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So dope. So talk to us now about what's next for you.
So we have a couple of things coming up. We have my book, My Kidney Failed Me But God Didn't. That is out for a pre-order now. We will be doing our release and book signing on September 25th. I have a surprise interview in LA that I'm going to do, which I will give you guys the opportunity to be a part of. And then we have our new segment called Keeping It Real with Courtney, where we are just putting on a topic every week, and I get the opportunity to do the best thing I love, and that's speak to my fans, speak to my people, and I get to answer questions, I get to bring on topics, and we get to engage in conversation instead of you just writing it in the comments.
Okay, okay.
No.
Now we're not gonna do that. We're gonna engage.
Okay. Yes.
Man, we are so excited to see everything that you got going on. And we are so proud of you, man. And just to keep going, Black men out here in the media space, because it's not really a lot of us. And you
Yes.
Okay. So much.
Definitely. And the people that are doing it can be a little bit messy sometimes in terms of how to deliver the news and just kind of give us content. But you stay the course, man, and you make sure you put quality over BS, and I appreciate that.
Yes.
Thank you. It's life changing things, right? You figure when I first started Courtney's Corner, that's what I was talking about. I was talking about messy stuff. You know what I mean? Because you couldn't tell me that I wasn't Wendy Williams' brother. I was going through all messy stuff. But then I realized that there's so much more going on in the world that we could be tapping into. Why talk about things that really don't have any value? We need to be pouring into our communities. We need to be allowing people to have a platform to be able to give back, to be able to let other people know that if I can do it through whatever circumstance that I've gone through, you can do it.
Come on.
Yes.
Come on, man. Absolutely true. Man, tell us if there's anything that we should be on the lookout for, anything else that you feel like we should be keeping a close eye on you because it's coming.
Well, if you're talking about right now, I have a Six Flags trip that we are hosting on July 24th. Oh, if you live in the New York Tri-State area, you are all invited. This is our first fundraiser of the year. All proceeds go to our toy drive that we do every year on December 20th, where we give back to a bunch of people living in shelters. We have a party, and then we do Santa Claus in the hospitals. So all proceeds go to that. And then just kind of look out for new shows. We are going to be doing shows every week up until the end of September. So season 3 is jam-packed. I've got an opportunity to have you on my show last season. And we're just going up, man. We're going up.
Yeah, yo, we are completely going up. I was all part of Courtney's Corner, and I'm grateful to even have you on here right now.
Thank you.
And I can't wait to see what we all get to do in the next seasons. And we just going to make sure we put on for the culture, you heard?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
That's it, man. Thank you so much for coming on Black Culture, my brother. And you are not a stranger. We would love to have you back on again soon, you heard?
Yes, sir. I'd love to come back.
Of course, man. Again, Courtney's Corner, everybody. All right, y'all. So that was Courtney. Basically, see you and find out Courtney's Corner. Make sure y'all tap in with him because he actually got the sauce. He got the magic sauce, okay?
Yes!
You got everybody coming over there to talk to him about what's going on in entertainment, who's who, and everybody that is relevant right now, okay?
Yes!
Tap in with him. His show is all the way turned up. I will be watching it on my Roku and my Amazon Fire Stick, whichever one I like watching. But again, I am your boy, Jersey. Thank y'all so much for rocking out. This is episode 25 of season 2, all about the mic semi-season finale. Next week is a season finale. I hope to see y'all there.
Yes!
Okay. Then after that, season 3 is on its way. I'm so excited. But until then, I gotta go. I'm tired. I'm your boy, Jersey. Deuces!